Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You may be seated. A sermon is preacher's choice. It does not have to be about the gospel or indeed about any of the four readings for that matter. It may be about the season, which is very common for us in Lent and in Advent. It may be about something that's going on in the world or nationally or locally in the community, the town, or in the worshiping community, the parish. It's been an interesting week for one who avoids the gospel studiously as a sermon takeoff point anyway, especially when eyes are being gouged out and hands and feet chopped off, and they're speaking of hell fire and a worm that never ceases, and when Jesus recommends salt, which I cannot eat, not even on my steak tonight. We studied the letter of James in Sunday school and in my Bible seminars, and I preached on James my last sermon here, which was September the 2nd, and so I'm not going there again this morning. In fact, the next time we read James will be 3 years from now, and I will be 80 years old, and Father Steve will say, "Tom, you sit over there and be quiet." And so I'm done with James. If I want to go into Scripture, then that leaves me with Esther and Psalm 124. If you have studied the Hebrew book of Esther and the apocryphal book of Esther with me in Bible study or in Sunday school classes, then you know that Esther is a book of Jewish history that is not included in the most ancient text of the Hebrew Bible. And you know that in canonical Hebrew Esther, the Lord God is not mentioned even once in all of its 10 chapters. And you also know that at some point along 200 or 300 years before Jesus, during the writings of the Greek language Septuagint Old Testament, which was the gospel the Bible that our gospel writers used, and some scholars think the Bible that Jesus himself used and which gave us the Apocrypha, the book of Esther in that was modified specifically to include the Lord God as its inspiration and its object of devotion. For all its symbol of victory for the Jews over their enemies, and for all the beauty of Queen Esther and the love between Esther and her king, and Esther's loyalty to Mordecai, who was taken away in the Babylonian exile, Mordecai, Esther's uncle, who adored Esther and adopted her when she was orphaned, and for all Esther's admirable loyalty to her people, the Jews, the book of Esther is a horrifying, bloody, murderous historical volume that I forbid you to read. I forbid you to read it. That is Esther, the book of Esther. You'll find it in the Old Testament after Nehemiah and before Job. Now, the value of Esther in Jewish history is that it's the basis for the Jewish festival Purim, and Purim is said to be the happiest and most joyful of all Jewish feasts, when one is not only allowed to rejoice, but is actually commanded to rejoice and feast and be happy and give gifts, because the Jews have been delivered from the swords and scaffolds of the enemies, as you heard in the story. Scott read it to us, and they are free. Esther is a book and a story of victory, and Purim is the feast that celebrates that victory, and it's not only a festival eating and laughing and giving presents, but it's a time of loving generosity in giving food to people who are less fortunate. Now, I'll go off my path for a moment and say that if you know me, you know that I'll find something to complain about. And this morning, it's my puzzlement that our lectionary has us reading about Purim, which is not a fall festival, but a winter or spring festival, and it comes along every year in February or March. reading from Esther and about Purim during September is goofy, and it's astonishing during the week of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which was last Thursday, and during Sukkot, the Festival of Booths, which is tomorrow and Tuesday, as though the lectionary was put together not by scholars who were knowledgeable about history and the Jewish calendar, but by fools drawing lots. Which, come to think of it, is what Purim actually means, literally casting lots. And Haman, the evil one, is casting lots in the story to ascertain the most auspicious day to start carrying out his murderous plot to annihilate all the Jews, all of Esther's people. So if I won't preach from Mark or James or Esther, there's little left for me to do this morning but turn to Psalm 124. Psalm 124, which in view of what we know of Esther's story, Psalm 124 makes sense as the grateful response of God's people. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side when the enemies rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us up alive and their fierce anger taught us. Then would the waters have overwhelmed us and the torrent gone over us. Then would the raging waters have gone right over us. Blessed be the Lord. He has not given us over to be a prey for their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's a psalm, you see, of gratitude. It's a psalm of gratitude for the goodness, the gracious loving kindness of God in saving his people Israel, and ultimately for us as Christians in saving us through Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a Jew, and he would never have lived had it not been for Esther and Mordecai. But gratitude is not a feeling. I've told you before from this pulpit, love is not a feeling. Love is how you treat other people. Gratitude also is not a feeling. Gratitude is something you do. This is not Stewardship Sunday, that dreaded overcast day will cloud up and rain on us soon enough. This is Easter Sunday, as every Sunday in the church is Easter Sunday. For Christians, Sunday is coming and Sunday is here. Easter is here. You are saved by the cross. You are saved by the torment and crucifixion and death of God the Son, and by his loving and glorious resurrection on Sunday morning, rising to new life only, you see, because of God's love for us, and as a sign that we also shall be raised from the dead. This morning's collect has it absolutely right. God does declare his almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and loving kindness. And for that, our gratitude can know no bounds. And now to get specific about it, if you are grateful, then the story of Esther and our celebrating response of Psalm 124 can take you nowhere else but to show your gratitude and generosity in the loving response of the Festival of Purim. Our parish has the perfect outlet for gratitude and Purim generosity, and it's our backpack ministry. You can shop for food so that 90 little children who without you would have nothing at all at home to eat all weekend, children who because of you can feast on your loving kindness, or you can come out to help Judy and the women or Mike and the men load up backpacks. Speaking for myself, I don't do well shopping for groceries, and so I'm not going to shop for groceries, and at 77, I'm excusing myself from coming out to load backpacks. But I have this check here, and it's for the backpack ministry, and I pledge another check of equal value every month this school year. That is my Purim tithe to the backpack ministry. I don't challenge you to do the same thing. That's your business. But I am preaching this morning what Esther and Purim and Psalm 124 mean to me. And I'll conclude on this note that in my blog this week, I went rather wild and did something foolish. I promised to have the ice cream truck putt-putt down the aisle in procession this morning, and I said I would treat you to ice cream instead of a sermon. Unfortunately, when the ice cream truck showed up, Father Steve gave the driver his home address and sent him off to Bay Point. Before the ice cream truck left, I did manage to buy enough ice cream bars for everybody to have one. And so hoping that you will celebrate Purim with your labor or your money or bringing food for the backpack ministry, there is an ice cream bar for everybody here at the new kitchen counter after this service. And that's my gospel for you this morning. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.